Let's stand together and grab our Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy. Like I mentioned on Thursday, two things my son did not get from me, that voice and that hair. Got that from his mom. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read this chapter. It's only 16 verses. We'll read this morning and then we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Thank you for being here on a holiday weekend. Appreciate your faithfulness to the house of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity you give us, Lord, to meet together and to share some thoughts from your word, Lord, some truths that I think can help us this morning. I pray you'd help us to be attentive, Lord. Maybe there's some things going on in our lives right now, some things in our hearts that would cause us maybe to wander if we're not careful. And I just pray that you'd help us in the few minutes that we're here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Timothy is one of the pastoral epistles. Paul is writing to a young pastor and giving him instructions on the order and the organization of a church. The last time Paul had been with Timothy, he had encouraged him to stay on in Ephesus and finish the work that Paul had started. By the way, we preached a few weeks ago and we talked about the church of Ephesus in the city. It would not have been the easiest place to pastor. If you remember, the city was devoted to the worship of the goddess Diana, and the temple of Diana was there, one of the eight wonders of the old world, and it was Diana was the goddess of fertility, really, to lay it out correctly, she was the goddess of immorality. And the temple of Diana was nothing more than a house of prostitution, a religious house of prostitution, run by priestesses who were nothing more than really prostitutes. That was their worship. Sounds a lot like America in a different kind of way. We are just so enamored with immorality, it's ridiculous. But that was their worship. When they were going to church at Diana, it was not a good thing. And so that brings a lot of vice and a lot of sin and into the city. And this is where Timothy is in a word pastoring. Could not have been easy. Of course, Satan had his power in that city and a stronghold, and there was many obstacles. But as we mentioned a few weeks ago when we looked at Ephesus, obstacles also bring opportunity. There was a great opportunity there. So Paul writes this letter to Timothy to encourage him and to explain how a local church should be managed. He explains the responsibilities of a pastor and also the people. In this chapter, Paul is explaining to Timothy the things that he needs to keep the Christians there in remembrance of. Things that will help them to be the Christians that God wants them to be. You see, as Christians, we are commanded to grow. On Thursday nights, we've been talking about discipleship 2 weeks ago. This last Thursday, we started a few weeks, we're going to be talking about different levels of spiritual growth, different levels we attain to. And we grow to those levels. It's very important that we understand that we're to grow. We are to level up in our walk with God. As with healthy physical growth, healthy spiritual growth takes the proper kind of fitness. There's some things that help you to be healthy and be the Christian, or in a physical sense, have the body you're supposed to have. In this chapter, as I read through it, some of the things I saw him that he's supposed to put the brethren in remembrance of, there's a correlation between, you know, physical fitness and spiritual fitness. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. I want us to be spiritually fit. I want us to be spiritually all that God wants us to be. If you don't come, I encourage you to come on Thursday night. I think these level things are very, very helpful. It helps us to understand where we're at, where we need to be. It also helps us to understand one another. You see, in a church, people are at all different spiritual levels, and that's okay. That's fine. But sometimes we have trouble interrelating with one another because we don't get it. And so, but I want us this morning to see, how are we spiritually fit? Are we spiritually healthy? Are we where God wants us to be? This morning, I noticed in this chapter 5 areas where we need to be fit if we're going to be spiritually fit. The first one I want you to see there is mentally. Mentally. This verses 1 through 5. He talks about the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times there's going to be false doctrine. There's going to be false truth that is set out there. Doctrines of devils, he calls it, seducing spirits, and they speak lies. They're searing people's consciences. Why? What is that talking about? It's talking about our mind. The mind's got to be fit. You see, mentally speaking, as a Christian, if we don't have the right truth in our mind, we'll never have the right actions outwardly. Very important. That's what Paul's talking here. They lived in that wicked culture, and if they were not careful, there was these false ideas that would be everywhere. By the way, they're everywhere in every country this morning. See, bad living starts with bad believing. And the fact of the matter is, you can't turn anywhere in our society without hearing false, I can just call it what it is, false doctrines. Whether it's a coworker that does not know the Lord, could be some good-meaning family members that don't know God, for sure it's the media. For sure it's the media. All the stuff you watch and listen to, the majority of it is nothing more than trying to change our minds. I don't listen to sports radio hardly ever at all. I'll listen to a little 10-minute segment when I'm coming to work in the morning, and most of the time I have to turn it off. Because it's not about who is this team going to sign anymore. It's all about pushing an agenda, and it's ridiculous. They talk about stuff that has nothing to do with sports. But this false truth is everywhere, and we need to be very careful that we don't let these things get into our mind. Now, primarily here, he's speaking from a spiritual standpoint. Now look, if I'm listening to someone that does not know God, does not know the Bible, does not have a biblical mindset at all, I would expect them to spout some things that are not spiritually based. Yes, I understand that. But the sad thing is, most of the false truths that are hurting us are going to be from people who act like they're spiritual, who have the pretense that they're godly people. By the way, be very careful or you're going to get confused. The early days of our church over on Anaheim, there was this lady that she didn't go to our church, but she would come by because we always had the basketball leagues. We always had a bunch of young people around. And she'd come by and she had all this spiritual talk. And she was like totally anti what our church was doing. And I remember Brother Tongdi was a new Christian at the time. And he got to, he goes, but how could she be wrong, Brother Meyer? Because she talks so spiritual. Now I happen to know the lady and some of the things she was involved in, and they were not godly at all. My brother, it's not what a person says. It's what they live. And by the way, what they're saying, does it line up with Scripture? Just because you put a bumper sticker on your car that says, I love Jesus, doesn't mean anything. It usually means that's the car that's going to cut you off. Yeah. You know, they got the little fish. That means if you cut them off on accident, you're probably going to get yelled at. It's not about putting a bumper sticker. What is the truth? And sometimes, and we live in a time really where people are, who places that are supposed to be church are teaching things that are not godly at all. The average Christian now does this. What's going on in society? Well, that's what I believe. Oh, don't want to be seen. By the way, I don't want to be seen as being mean. I don't think we ought to be mean either. But you know what? We got to stand for the truth. Amen. Remember many years ago, we were at the other church and something was going on with some people, and I had to kind of step in and, hey, say something. And after we walked away, I remember my wife said to me, she goes, man, you know what? They're going to think you're rude. And I said, you know what? I would rather have them think I'm rude than think that was okay. I wasn't trying to be rude. But we get so fearful but listen, right is right. And as Christians, look, what's going to help people? the truth. And as Christians, if we back off of the truth, when people come to church, the place where they ought to hear what's right and get the help they need, where are they going to get it if the church doesn't have it? We need to be very careful. How's your mind this morning? What kind of thoughts? Hosea 4:6 says this, God said to his children of Israel, they were getting in trouble, and God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what the Bible says. They don't know what the word is saying. The thing about Christianity is we are destroying ourselves from within. You know, by the way, in a time of war, espionage is a big thing. If you can get some people on the inside, that's where the real damage is going to be done. We know what the enemy's got. We know where they're coming, and we're going to be ready for that. Boy, but from someone within, that's devastating and damaging. And Christianity is destroying itself from within. We better be very careful. He talks about seduction. Seduction is trying to pull us away from that which is right to that which is wrong. They make it look good. They make it look like the real thing, but it's not. Like I've mentioned before, my children have been to Cambodia several times. And whenever they go there, they buy stuff. You know, they come home, Dad, we got you this. And it's like, it's a nice briefcase. It was Gucci. Man, it was not Gucci. It said Gucci on there, but when the stitches started falling out after 3 weeks, it was not Gucci. And they get you the little T-shirts with the alligator on it. You know, I don't know which one that is. I'm not a golfer. I tried golf for a little bit, and that just didn't work for me. You know, and it's like, look at that. That's one of those expensive polo shirts. The next thing you know, the alligator's legs are falling off. Okay? That's not the true thing. That's something that looks, but it's false. That's what seduction does. Seduction tries to get you away from that which is right, to get you over to that which is wrong, but it always looks good. We got to be careful. He talks about subversion, the false teaching, the false doctrine. Let me just say this, and it's Sunday morning, I should be nicer, but be careful. Everybody wants to be cool. I'm going to be the cool pastor, man. Listen, I'm not growing a ponytail. Not piercing my ears, and I'm not doing body piercing, okay? It's like, just got to be cool, man, because we want to have all this stuff and all this, and some of you follow these people, but I give you an admonition. You better check what they believe. There's this group in Australia, Hillsong. By some of you probably listen to their music, and you shouldn't. But Hillsong, guess who their newest convert is? Justin Bieber. Yeah, they brought him over to their conference. Their spiritual leader conference at Hillsong. Justin Bieber, we're helping him. Really? That's not the kind of Christianity I want. We got to be very careful. Subversion. What do they say about Jesus Christ? You'd be shocked. There are some people that say they're Christian, and you know what? They don't believe you need to trust Christ. It's what is the truth? We need to be very careful. Because he talks about some searing that's going on. Our conscience can become seared. You know, searing is like when you brand an animal. When you brand their skin with that hot iron, the skin gets calloused and hard, and now there's no more feeling in the skin, and you can't hurt it anymore. It's just kind of hard and tough. That's what happens to our conscience if we're not careful. And then we mentally can't even see the things that God wants us to see because our mind is so seared and it's so calloused. We get hard to the things of God, don't we? So let's stay mentally fit. Let's be careful. Let's learn the truth. Say, how do I know if something is false? It's very easy. Know what is true. You don't have to know all the false to know what's false. If you know what's true, you'll identify the false right away. We've said it before. How do they train people to spot counterfeit money? They don't have them study counterfeit money because that's always changing. They have them study the genuine deal because when something false comes and you've been dealing with the genuine, you say, I know that's not true. Let's be mentally fit. He talks about nutritionally, number 2. Verse 6, he says, but if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, he's admonishing Timothy, make sure they know these things. This is important. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. Nourished up, you know. You got all the everything you need. you're getting the substance you need. Right food. By the way, food's important. You know, now I know we all pray over our food. Lord, bless the food. Thank you for it. Listen, can I just tell you something? There is no nutritional value in Flaming Hot Cheetos, and no amount of prayer is going to change that. There isn't. Oh, they taste good, but there's nothing there. But we need nutrition. We've got to be nourished. That's why, look, you know, my mom told me when I was younger, we've said it to our kids, and you've said it to your kids, and you've probably said it to the neighbor's kids. Listen, don't eat junk before dinner. If you eat a bunch of cotton candy right before dinner, you are not going to eat dinner. And the most important thing that has the most nutrition, you're leaving off to the side. We've got to have the right kind of nutrition. The nutrition for us is the Word of God. He said the words of faith. What are the words of faith? God's truth. That's what we need. We need God's Word. Everything we say from in this church, whether it's a Sunday school class or behind this pulpit, it's got to be backed up with the Word of God. Amen. Or else, you know what it is? It's nothing more than spiritual cotton candy. You know what cotton candy is? Sugar and air. That's about all. You got this big thing, and you take one bite, and half of it's gone. There's nothing to it. By the way, same thing with potato chips. You open up a potato chip bag, and it's 75% air. What happened to it? I guess air is cheaper. But we need God's truth. Then he talks about and of good doctrine. That's God's teaching. Knowing what God says on a subject, knowing what God says. Listen, we need to be nourished up. You'll never be physically fit if you're constantly eating the wrong thing. Twinkies and cheeseburgers are good. Actually, that sounds good about right now too, doesn't it? Let's just pray. How many of you want to pray and just go eat? Yeah, I'm with you, Raul. Thanks. Let's go have a salad. Yeah, lettuce. But that's not good for you. That's okay sometimes. But if all we ever eat is junk, we're not going to be healthy. Spiritually speaking, what do we need? We need God's Word. We need God's Word daily. There needs to be a prepared feed. There needs to be a personal feeding. Okay? We need to daily grab God's Word and make, listen, you would, if you ate as many times physically as you read God's Word spiritually, we would not need to diet, right? That ought to be good. I'm going to write a book, The Bible Diet. Eat as many times a day as you read your Bible. Man, I'll be rich. We'll get that building done like that. And we also need it together when we meet together and learn it. But we need our nutritional. Yes. You're not going to be healthy if you're not eating right, if you're not eating consistently. And so I encourage you, get in God's Word. That's why we always pass out a Bible reading calendar at the beginning of the year. Encourage you, just bare minimum. Read God's Word through every year, a little bit each and every day. Then we encourage people to be in the services. The more services are, it all starts to fit together. You say, you know, I have trouble understanding it. Listen, if you're saved, the Spirit of God will help you to understand God's Word. Okay? Now, if you're not saved, you're gonna have a hard time understanding it. God wants you to understand salvation. But when you're saved, the Spirit of God helps us understand it. We need to get into it so God's Word can teach us. And it all starts to make sense as we go. So nutritionally, 30 mentions physically. Physically. Verse 7, But refuse profane and wife's fables and exercise. Didn't mean to cuss in church, sorry. Thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, people love these verses, Brother Pichardo, because they think that it's saying, aha, you shouldn't exercise. It's not what it's saying at all. Okay? Now, I will say, I've been exercising more consistently over the last few months, and it's not always enjoyable. I have to confess, yesterday morning, I thought, man, I'm going to go. The place where I exercised, I thought they didn't have a sign saying they were closed on July 4th. And I'm like, I'm going to go. Now, as I was driving, I'm like, I sure hope they're closed. I got over there, and I pulled into the parking lot, and sure enough, they were open. I sat in the parking lot for 2 minutes. I thought, that's stupid. I'm just going to go get some coffee and go home. So I did. But I did exercise Friday morning, so don't slam me too hard. But it's like, it's not fun. But you need a little, you need some movement in your life. You need a little exercise. Now he's going to tell us what kind of exercise we need here. It's a comparison. By the way, you know, most people don't get enough exercise. I get it. Someone has said when you go to a football game, what is it? It's 60,000 people who desperately need exercise watching 22 men who desperately need rest. It's about what it is, right? So I exercise. I watch someone run, you know? No. But physically, he's saying, listen, he says bodily exercise profiteth little. In other words, a bodily exercise only is profitable for your body while you're on this earth. That's all he's saying. Not saying it's wrong. Just saying it's only helpful while you're in this body and while you're on this earth. But here's the comparison. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. He says, yes, exercise is profitable while you're alive, while you're in this body. But if you exercise yourself to godliness, it's not only profitable while you're on this earth, it also has eternal benefits. That's what he's saying. So what's the exercise? We need to exercise ourselves to godliness. That's taking that word that we're nutritionally supposed to feed on and actually doing what it says in our life. That's putting it into practice. Most of us know we should have a little more movement in our life, but man, it's hard. Exercise unto godliness. He wants us to take that which we're learning. I mentioned, I think in my Sunday school class, the two best-selling books during the holidays, there's two different types. Number one, Christmas holidays, diet books. Everybody's getting ready for January 1st. The number two selling book during the holidays is cookbooks. How many of you see a conflict of interest there? That's why the diet book gets put to the shelf and it never gets used, but the cookbook, yeah, we're all over that one. Because we know what we're supposed to do, but boy, it's so hard to do it sometimes. But it's not just about acquiring knowledge. You know, we talked about Proverbs. Proverbs talks about wisdom. Wisdom is ability to take what God's word says and put it into practice in our life. That's godliness. So we need to be physically fit. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What does he mean by that? We deceive ourselves sometimes into thinking just because we came to church, we're okay. Just because I cracked my Bible open today, I'm okay. No, God says that's the start, but don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. Because when we think we're okay just by hearing it but not doing it, we're deceiving ourselves. In other words, we're lying to ourselves. He says, put it in practice. That's where the blessing comes from, doing what God's word says. We like to wait until things are going wrong. Then we decide, hey, now let's start getting into it. So we see physically. Next, I want you to see that we want to be spiritually fit vocationally. Vocationally, what I mean, verse 9 and 10. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Labor. Working, putting some effort into it. He talks here about laboring for the Lord. And in their days particularly, if they work for God, it involves some suffering. You look at Paul. How many times when Paul was just trying to do the things that God wanted him to do, he was persecuted and he suffered terribly for it. But working. Timothy was going to face that. I imagine when Timothy was out talking to people about the Lord in a city where their worship was immorality, could you imagine some of the things he probably heard? He probably got ridiculed. He probably heard some people criticizing him. People were probably just mean and rude. Remember when we looked at Ephesus in Acts chapter, I think it's 19, when they had the silversmiths were getting mad because people were being converted. They were leaving the temple of Diana. It was costing them money. They caused this huge uproar. All these people going to the amphitheater and yelling, "Great is Diana!" Huge uproar. You imagine Timothy, because of his labor for the Lord, he heard some of that. But why do we keep going? Why are we supposed to labor and serve the Lord? I like that phrase. Because he's a living God. We trust in the living God. He's not dead. We work for him. We don't just take in. Everything's not about us. It's also about what can we give out. That's why I'm thankful for all the people that come out on Tuesday night. You know what they're saying? I'm not here for church just to take in on Thursday night, like on Sundays. I'm here to go to the community. I'm here to give out. See? You'll never be healthy if all you do is just take in. It's good for us and it's helpful for us if we're giving out. And then the last thing is this. We're running out of time here. If we're going to be spiritually fit, we need to be responsible. We need to live responsibly. Verses 11 through 16, we won't go through all of them. He goes, but these things command and teach. And then he goes through a long list of things that he's supposed to do. In other words, when we're told to do something in the Bible, that gives us a responsibility to do it. It's not a suggestion. That's what he's ending the chapter. He talks about many things here that were his responsibility. He commands him that he's supposed to share these things that he's learning with others. He reminds him that he has a responsibility to be a proper example of a Christian and a believer. He reminds him that he's responsible to some things that he is devote himself to. He says, give attendance to these things. He tells him he's responsible to not neglect some things, some gifts and some callings that he had. He reminds him that he's responsible to give himself wholeheartedly to some areas. And then in the last verse, he reminds him that there are some things that he's responsible to guard in his life. Responsibilities. As we grow as a Christian, as we become fit, we realize there's responsibilities. By the way, let me just say this. We're way too emotional in our society. We're like this, up and down. One day, yes, I'm so excited to go to church. The next day, it's like, you're kidding me, I don't want to go. Oh, I feel like that sometimes. Not that I don't like going to church. I just like staying in bed sometimes. Alarm clock goes off. It's like, I'd rather not go this morning. It's like, I kind of have to go. Okay? But, you know, I just don't do things because I feel like it, except for exercising yesterday. I do things because I'm responsible. That's what God wants me to do. I'm supposed to be a good husband. I'm working on that one. I'm supposed to be a father. I have children. I'm supposed to be a good Christian. There are things God tells me my responsibility to do. And when you're fit, when you're spiritually fit, you do what you're supposed to do. Let's not be so emotional. Yes, we have emotions, but don't let them control us. We're supposed to be controlled by, what am I supposed to be doing? What does God want me to do? Let me ask you this morning. How fit are you this morning? Are there some areas where your spiritual fitness is lagging? Mentally, have you allowed some false thoughts to come in? Have you allowed some people to influence you in the wrong way? How are you nutritionally? My church attendance, it's kind of spotty. It's hit and miss. Maybe we need to take the responsibility and make sure we get that nailed down. I used to, you know, come to other services, and now I just, maybe we need to get back to doing what we're supposed to be doing. I used to get in my Bible, and I'm struggling with that. Maybe you need to get back in your Bible nutritionally. Most all of you will eat lunch today. We need to have that kind of determination and mindset with God's Word. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk. How about physically? Are we exercising ourselves into godliness? Are we taking that which we know we're supposed to do? Or are we putting it into practice in our life? Are we laboring for the Lord? And are we being responsible? God desires, and I'm done, that you would prosper. Now, when we think of prosper, we think of finances. No, that's not what God's talking about. God wants us to be prosperous spiritually in every area of our life. 3 John verses 2 to 4 says this, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. You know what he's saying? I'm so glad to hear that you get it. I want you to prosper. I want you to have good health. I want you to be taken care of. But boy, more than that, I want your soul to prosper. I want you to be spiritually fit. And I'm so excited when I hear that you're walking in the truth. You're getting it. You're getting it. How about us this morning? Are we walking in the truth? Are we spiritually fit? Is there an area we need to work on this morning? Let's all stand together, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed.